this morning we will be back in Romans 12, but just there for the verse that we're going to be speaking of this morning. And this morning is one that's a little different. Obviously, we've talked about prophecy, we've talked about teaching, we've talked about ministry, and this morning now we're going to talk about exhortation and the gift of exhortation. And I want to, with the Lord's help, encourage you all to look back over the last few weeks of what's taken place. And I can give you an example of the way that God has actually used the messages in the way that is extremely timely to bring Himself glory. And I hope that you all have spiritual eyes to be able to see what it is that God has done the last few weeks. So we spoke and preached on the gift of prophecy. And as I studied through that week and as I considered what it was to be preached that Saturday, the Lord just had me at a message that I didn't quite understand, if you guys remember. And that message ended up being a message entitled Sinner. It was a message that wasn't necessarily taught on prophecy. It was a message that I believe was for one person that sat in our congregation that morning. Even though I did not understand on Saturday, whenever I studied, come Sunday morning, whenever the message was preached, I understood fully. Why God would have us study through Romans 12 and these gifts and then give us examples only brings glory to Himself. Then we spoke about ministry, and that day or that evening, had someone approach me about taking over a position in our ministry. Then we spoke about teaching, and I don't know if you noticed or not, but Brother Jonathan then took the children back for children's church. And that evening, this was not planned. I had prior engagements that weekend that would prevent me from having two messages that Sunday. So I asked Brother Jonathan if he could take the message for that Sunday evening. And Brother Jonathan, he taught on some church things, some doctrine that, if we weren't careful, probably would have been pretty mundane and lulled most of us to sleep. But because our brother has been gifted in teaching, it encouraged and stirred the brethren. See what God has done in this church. I want to encourage you before we get into this gift of exhortation. If you watch how God is moving within the body of Rochdale Baptist Church, it should encourage you. There are often times my prayer is, Lord, in spite of me, take me out of the way. I want to be used of Him, and I say that sincerely whenever I preach it from the pulpit. My desire is to be used of God in whatever way He sees fit. And I hope that is your prayer this morning as well. Because whenever you get out of His way, things like this happen. That should be the desire of the brethren this morning. This morning, as we preach through exhortation, I want to show you some things that I've seen in Scripture to encourage the brethren. So this may come across a little different than what I normally preach, but my hope, my prayer is that God would use His Word to encourage you. If you are gifted in exhortation, my prayer is that He would use you to exhort the brethren, to be a help, because you are necessary. It's the reason why these things are listed. In Romans 12, 8, the very first part of that verse, the Apostle Paul says, are he that exhorteth on exhortation. We can go back to that first where it says, he on ministry, wait on his ministering, and then he goes through teaching, and then he comes to exhortation. So you could read this almost as if you would be reading teaching or ministry, or he that exhorteth, wait on exhortation. Now, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter number 4. And I want to show you a man. Acts chapter number 4, starting in verse 32, and we'll be in a couple different places in Acts. I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'm going to preach. Acts 4:32, the Bible says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This morning I want to talk about this man, Joseph, who the apostles surnamed Barnabas. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 18. Paul has been met by Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he has been blinded. And the Spirit of God sends a man by the name of Ananias to Paul. Paul receives his sight, and he's then filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse number 18 says, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened, and was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, and that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the apostles took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And Saul was come to Jerusalem. He essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, who took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Barnabas took Saul before the brethren. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Acts 11, verse number 19. Acts 11, verse number 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen travailed as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. If you want a title for this morning's message, it's right there. Exhortation, cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would help me to preach it. That you would encourage the brethren. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, the Apostle Paul, in Romans 12:8, in this sacred catalog of gifts, does not merely describe the offices of the church, but operations of grace within the offices of the church. And among them stands this brief but burning and necessary word, that he that exhorteth on exhortation. Not preaching only, not teaching only, but on exhorting. The holy art of stirring the embers into flames. So if preaching is the match and the fuel that inflames the fire, and teaching is the kindling and the brush that keeps the fire burning and keeps the fire from burning wildly out of control, then exhortation is that fan to a burning out ember. It's the oxygen back to the coals that reignites the fire. Exhortation is the trumpet of God in the camp of the believer. Exhortation is not content to inform just the mind, but it takes and presses the truth of God's word into the heart of the believer. It doesn't merely unfold doctrine and say, here it is, but it urges the brethren to duty. It doesn't just simply reveal Christ to the unconverted or even to the believer, but it pleads, follow him. If we would behold this gift clothed in flesh and blood, we look at this man, Barnabas. Barnabas, we know, was not his birth name. His birth name was Joseph. But the apostles surnamed him Barnabas, which being interpreted is the son of consolation. The church, the disciples looked upon this man and they said, there walks a man whose words lift burdens and whose presence breathes courage into the body. Notice this. The church did not name him son of thunder or son of controversy, but they named him son of consolation. Oh, that some among us might live our lives in such a way that heaven itself would nickname us for our comfort. When the church at Jerusalem feared the newly converted Saul, who was it that brought him along? Barnabas took him by the hand to the disciples. When others saw a persecutor, Barnabas saw a preacher. When others remembered Saul's fury and his terror, Barnabas believed in the sovereign grace of God. This is exhortation. It sees what grace can do, not what everyone else has done. When the tidings came in that the Gentiles and the Jews in Antioch had believed, Barnabas was the one that the church sent. And what did he do? When he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Mark that phrase. He exhorted them all. Not a few, not just the leaders, not just the preachers, not just the strong. He exhorted them all. And what was the burden of his exhortation? That they would cleave unto the Lord. Not cleave to the emotion of what was taking place in the day. Not cleave to the novelty, the mere novelty of Christianity. Not cleave to the men that preached the revival. But he exhorted them to cleave unto the Lord. Oh, church, that if we're to have stability in a shaking age, in an age that tries to draw us from Christ, we must cleave to Christ with purpose of heart. We must cleave to Jesus with everything that is in us. This nature of exhortation is a Greek word that carries the sense of calling one near, to call one close, to come alongside, to strengthen, to warn, to encourage, to entreat. It's like taking your shoulder and putting it up underneath the shoulder of a brother or a sister and helping them cross the finish line. It admonishes the sluggard. Wake up! It is an ointment to the wounded. It's a trumpet call to the fearful. And it's a helping hand to those that have fallen. It says to the weary saint, rise, for your Lord is worthy. It says to the trembling convert, fear not. The same grace that saved you will keep you. It says to the backslider, return, for he delighteth in mercy. And it says to the sinner, flee from the wrath to come. If doctrine is the skeleton, then exhortation is the one that puts the muscle and the tendons upon it. It's the one that gives it strength. Without exhortation, truth may lie in the mind as snow like in the field. It's cold and it's motionless. It has no need to do anything. But exhortation is the wind that sets it flowing into obedience. We need exhorters in the body. We can have truth all day long, but without the encouragement to spread that truth, it's null. The scripture gives us the secret behind Barnabas' power. Verse 11:24, it says, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Exhortation without goodness becomes harshness. Understand, exhortation without goodness becomes harshness. Exhortation without the Spirit becomes noise. It becomes another phrase. It becomes another trinket. It becomes another thing that we stick to our wall or a sign that we place above our mantle. The Spirit of God must work in the exhorter. And then exhortation without faith becomes mere manipulation. If you don't believe what you're saying, all you're attempting to do is manipulate the one into believing something you yourself don't even believe. Barnabas was full of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, his words carried heaven's unction and urging. You must be filled with the Holy Ghost to exhort the brethren. He was full of faith. Therefore, he believed that God could use weak men for mighty ends, for his own glory. That God would give us exhorters who are themselves walking epistles, that they would know the Word of God, they would live the Word of God, and they would encourage with the Word of God. Exhorters are necessary in the church. That's why Paul lists them here. This gift of exhortation is necessary in Rochdale Baptist Church. We need those that exhort in the body. We must have those that exhort in the body. Paul commands it. He that exhorteth on exhortation, because without exhortation, the church grows dull. It grows stale. We need exhortation because trials discourage, because sin entangles, and because Satan is still the accuser of the brethren. We need exhorters. We need men and women who will not merely just explain truth, but they themselves will apply it with urgency. They themselves would then encourage others to apply it with urgency. Look at how Barnabas later exhorted Paul himself by companionship and labor. He brought Paul with him. But then what did he do? He went to Tarsus and brought Paul to Antioch. The people in Antioch had fled the persecution of Paul. And then Barnabas goes and gets Paul and brings him to Antioch. And what does it say? That a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. They taught much people. Exhortation encourages and multiplies ministry. Do you understand that preachers and teachers and evangelists and missionaries grow weary? They grow tired in the work. They need those that exhort in the body. The body must have those that exhort. Exhortation multiplies ministry. He went and he fetched Paul and brought him to Antioch. Brothers, some of you are not called to stand in pulpits, but you are called to stand beside the fainting. Do you understand that your word in due season may keep a soul from despair? You may be the word that a brother or sister needs. There may be those that are fainting within the body even this morning, and your gift of exhortation might give them strength for another day. It's necessary. We look at Barnabas and we see that he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And because of that, much people was added unto the Lord. Yet, brethren, Barnabas was just a reflection of a greater comforter. Our Lord Jesus Christ stands as the extreme or a supreme exhorter. He said, follow me. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest for your soul. He said to Peter and James and John, watch and pray. And even now, by his Spirit, he exhorts his church. This morning, if you are unconverted, hear his exhortation. He says to repent and believe the gospel. The Son of God shed his blood that sinners might have eternal life. Will you continue to cleave to your sin, or will you cleave to the Lord? If you're saved and converted here this morning, yet you are cold, hear him say, strengthen the things which remain. Barnabas did not seek prominence. When Paul increased, Barnabas did not complain. Notice that up to this point, it says Barnabas and Saul. Read a little bit this afternoon about Barnabas. Go through the book of Acts and pick out everywhere that it mentions Barnabas' name and what Barnabas did. At first, it says Barnabas and Saul. As we get through Acts, it says Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas didn't mind taking second place behind the ministry of Paul. He didn't complain about it. When disputes arose between him and John Mark, he bore them. He took John Mark with him. And what did Paul say further along in his ministry? He said, bring John Mark with you, for he's profitable to me. It was the encouragement of Barnabas. He didn't say, forget you, Paul. You don't want John Mark. We'll go our own way and start our own ministry. That's not what he did he? He said, okay, I'll take him with me. And Paul saw that he was profitable and restored him into the ministry. That's exhortation, brothers and sisters. We don't just cast them away. We bear the burden. We need those that bear the burden of the brethren to encourage the brethren, to come alongside the brethren. We need it in the day in which we live, because this world will drain you of every virtue that you have. We need brothers and sisters that speak life back into the believer. We need them. That the Lord would raise up a generation of sons and daughters of exhortation. Not those that flatter by word, but those that are faithful encouragers of the body. Not those that are critics, but those that are comforters. Not those that just idly talk, but those that are spirit-filled persuaders. He that exhorteth on exhortation. If God has given you this gift this morning and you know it, do not neglect it. Exhort while it is yet called today. Encourage while breath still remains in you. Understand that this life is fleeting, that you only have so much time to use the gift that God has given to you. Do not squelch it. Use it within the body. Use it amongst other believers. It isn't just to be used here at Rochdale Baptist Church. Do you realize that Barnabas also was a prophet and also was a teacher? You can see it in Acts 14 if you read. He had the gift of prophecy and he had the gift of teaching, but he also had the gift of exhortation. He used those things, and it says many were added to the church. Do you realize that you don't have to be a preacher or a teacher to convert, to be a soul winner? You can be one that's gifted with exhortation. And many are added to the church. This gift isn't just to be used for Rochdale Baptist Church. This gift is to be used in your everyday life if you are walking with the Spirit and Spirit-filled. If God has given you this gift, do not neglect it. Point souls to Christ until faith becomes sight. My hope for you that are gifted in such a way that it's to be said of you as it was of Barnabas, that much people were added to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that this was an encouragement. My heart is stirred because I see the need of this in the body. There are so many that are weary, so many that are burdened, so many hearts that are heavy, that if we would just surrender to this gift of exhortation, that a word fitly spoken would stir these embers once again, would give life back to the body. Help my brothers and sisters that are gifted this way, that are considering these things, to understand that they are useful, they are needed within the body, that we must have them, that the preacher, that the teacher, that the body, the brethren, they grow weary. There's a reason why you sent Barnabas. He saw the grace of God and was glad and exhorted them. Not to say, okay, you've done enough, but he encouraged them to continue to go. Lord, we pray for your help this morning. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.